Hi and welcome to your monthly USA housing market update. I'm actually on vacation at the moment, so my wife has very kindly allowed me to do this video, but I've got to keep it a little shorter than usual. So let's get straight into the data now then, and please remember to click the like button and subscribe if you haven't already. So let's go into the data, and NAR, so this is the National Association of Realtors, puts the average house price at $350,000 right now. Other organizations put it as high as $365,000, and Zillow, I think, even says $374,000 for the average house price right now. We're just going to go into the screen share very shortly, but I just want to go over some of the key facts at the moment. So house prices have continued to rise year over year, 14% as of last month, which is, you know, just a crazy rise that we've been going through. But the average house price loan, so this is the mortgage people are taking out, has now increased to $405,000. Now, this is quite telling of what's happening in the housing market, because if you remember what I said as far back as a year ago now, that one or two things will happen to actually stop prices from exploding. And that is that either we will have some form of a housing market crash or correction, and that could be to do with interest rate rises, which there are none on the cards right now, especially for 2021. But the other thing that always creates a cap in housing market prices is affordability. Remember, people buy houses on the monthly payment. Not many people buy houses with cash. So there's always a cap. And the cap always starts at the lower end first. So these are people that are buying the starter homes. These markets are always capped out first, and then they go up through the chain. Now, very interestingly, if we're now seeing the average mortgage of $405,000 and the average house price, I would put about $250,000 to $260,000, it tells you that we've already reached that cap in the lower level housing. The affordability has been reached, and now we're going through the other tiers. So I'm going to come on to my forecast later on. I'll timestamp the video, but this is quite telling as to what's going to happen in the rest of the housing market. And if you can't wait for me to go through all of the analytics and all the data and articles and things, you can jump straight to the forecast at the end. So what we have right now is that pending home sales are down and inventory is up. Now, in a normal housing market, this would equate to house prices falling, or at least plateauing before a fall. So why are they not doing that right now? And it's to do with the other ingredient which I often talk about, and that is these historically low interest rates. When you have interest rates this low, it's very difficult for there to be a housing market correction or crash. Because why would that happen? Well, there's only two reasons. One's the fundamentals, one's the psychology. The psychology of the housing market is still okay right now. So that's not going to cause a crash or a correction. So then you have to look at the fundamentals, and the fundamentals are still holding up. Now, I think that prices are going to continue to rise, but a lot slower than they have been doing. I don't think we're going to see the double digits. In fact, let me go to the screen share a second, because I do want to show you what Zillow are forecasting for their year-on-year increase. Here we go. They think it's going to be another 14.9% for next year, so going from 2021 through to 2022. I would be very surprised. I don't want to go too much into the forecast because I'll come on to that in the end, but I would be very, very surprised if it went up another 15% next year because of all the slowdowns in other things. So if anything, I would say that we have stagflation within the housing market right now, which you've probably never heard anyone mention before. Stagflation's more based on the economy. So what we have is inventory increasing. We have interest rates that are still historically low, but then we have less people having affordability to actually buy the houses. So remember what I said about the cap. You're either going to be capped out by your monthly payment, or you're going to be capped out by the deposit. Because even if you get one of these mortgages where you have to put very, very little down, you still need to have saved up X thousand dollars to actually put that deposit down, which, yes, a lot of people have saved over the last year, But a lot of people just haven't been able to. Maybe they lost their job or they had other financial difficulties over the last year, year and a half. So I think this is a really nice segue then into discussing interest rates, because I've seen a lot of people making all these forecasts over the last 3 to 4 weeks that if interest rates start to go down even more, 0.1 of a percent, 0.2 of a percent, which they have actually done, that we would see loads more buyers coming back to the market. And I really didn't think that would happen, and it hasn't happened. And here's the reason why. This isn't like the 70s and the 80s where you had these huge interest rates, where if you pulled the interest rates down, it would bring in a lot of people. Once you get below sort of 4%, 3.5%, it really doesn't matter. A 0.1 of a percent here, 0.2 of a percent there, in terms of people going to buy houses, because it's already so low on the interest rates that people are going to buy houses anyway. So even if the rates went down to 1%, I really don't think it's going to make that much of a difference that a lot of experts think it will. And of course, there's this huge lack of inventory now, as I mentioned, on the smaller homes. This is where we're seeing the biggest lack of inventory. And actually, Europe, and more specifically the UK, is a very good example of how this occurred, during the past, I'd say last 10 to 20 years, maybe last 15 years. And it's not unusual now. I mean, it's, you know, when I'm talking to people in the USA, this is like shock horror when they hear me talking about this. But it's not unusual in the UK for adults to share houses now. Now, yes, I get it, in the USA, this happens as well. It exists. I've seen it in Los Angeles in particular, New York, a lot of adults share housing. But, you know, in the rest of the country, this isn't a very common thing, apart from, say, student houses. Well, in the UK, someone that's earning, you know, minimum wage or just a very low wage, there's no possible way they could afford their own, even studio apartment. They're just priced out. And my fear, or my biggest concern, is that this is coming to the USA as well at this rate that is going. And the other fundamental to this that I think is very immoral, and I've talked about it a lot, I don't mind being vocal about this, is the number of hedge funds and large financial institutions which are buying up all the housing stock. And they are then upping the rents and putting them back on the market. So it's creating this renting mentality in the United States. Now, what else do you have combined with this? You have the media, and the media is saying, guys, look, everyone, we should be a renting nation. It's good to rent. Don't worry about the stresses of home ownership. Let these, you know, other people, these funds deal with it. You just want to, you know, live free and have a great life. You don't want the stresses of owning a home and all this. This is propaganda. Okay, you've got to look at who funds the media. Again, I don't want to get controversial on this, but look into how they get a lot of their funding. And at the moment, where's the switch gone from? It's gone from a lot of medical type stuff over to now housing and economics. Now, there's a lot of funding coming in from these organizations, shall we say, to the media organizations, and they are paying for all of this. And I would say it's propaganda that's coming out now, where they're telling you that it's good to be a renter and that you don't need to worry about home ownership ever. Just don't worry about it. This is not correct. If you look at the economics of most very stable countries, it's in direct correlation with home ownership. So a lot of countries that have a heavy amount of buyers, so a large percentage of buyers in the economy, these countries are a lot more stable, because that means that the people are able to build this generational wealth that they can pass on to children. Now, this is not what the USA is looking towards at the moment. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing these new inheritance taxes and property taxes, which passed in other parts of Europe, so that if you want to pass on a house, you're going to have to pay, you know, all these, you know, taxes and stuff. This is one of the worries I have right now. So let's just look at the Redfin data center here then. Let's start with new listings. Now we have 2018 in the gray bar here, 2019 is the blue bar, 2020 is the red bar, which is going to be very interesting for years to come for economists looking at this. And then the orange is 2021. Now, if you look at this, what do you notice straight away? The correlations between 2018, 2019. and then 2021. We're actually normalizing somewhat in terms of new listings coming into market. Now, year over year, yes, it's very, very different because we had 2020 throwing everything out so much. But it's very interesting if you look at this, that it tells us what sort of a pattern we might see going forward. And of course, as we scroll down, we can see the year over year. And again, always look at patterns. This is what you want to do with graphs. Look at the pattern and look at how this is perfectly mirroring what happened in 2020. So we're probably going to see a crossover point some point this month, July, possibly August. And then I think we're probably going to start to normalize not long afterwards. Next, let's just look at the rental market data. So is it cheaper to rent or own right now? This is a question I get asked a lot. And it's very difficult to answer because it depends on the metro area. But you can see the average monthly rent now is a lot higher than the monthly mortgage, again, due to these historically low interest rates. So if you are in the market and you're wondering, should you continue renting? Should you get a mortgage? Well, not taking into account any future price drops in the housing market, the fundamentals here say it is cheaper for you to get a mortgage. And especially if you're going to get a 30-year mortgage, it is definitely going to end up cheaper for you in terms of your monthly payment, regardless of what house prices do, whether they go up, whether they come down. It won't make any difference to you if you are currently a renter and you're looking to buy, because you're going to be $535 less. So you're going to be making that saving every month. Now, of course, there's other costs as well. When you have a home that you own yourself, not a rental, everything's included apart from some of your bills. So you've just got to take that into account as well. So next then, you know I always use Aalto's research because this is very, very useful. And I want to show you something very interesting here. So I've been tracking Boise, as you know, one of the ones I said would be a booming housing market, and it has been in the USA. Now, very interesting. Remember, this was almost 100. It was 100 actually last month. It has come down. So now it's at 91. Now let's look at all of these markets. Let's look at Austin, Texas. Again, one of the biggest markets. Last month and this month, it has come down. So all of them, as we go through Las Vegas as well, it's moving from a strong seller's market into a weaker seller's market. Now, Portland, Oregon as well, a weaker seller's market. Naples in Florida, a weaker seller's market. Los Angeles, this has really come down. We're now at 50. So we're not far off now. It's switching to a buyer's market in the future. Now let's just take one of these as an example. Let's take Las Vegas, which has been very, very strong and surprised a lot of people. You can see that inventory is historically low in Las Vegas. There's just no inventory, which is pushing up prices a lot. And it's causing people to overbid as well, to pay more than the house is worth. Although you've got to ask the question, is it that people are paying more than the house is worth? Or is it that the house is now worth that amount because that's what people are willing to pay? It's a little bit like the chicken and egg scenario here. But if we look at the median list price, we're just about to touch on $500,000. So let's look at the median list price here then. And look, we're at just under $500,000 here. But as we come down to March, look at the difference here. I mean, this is huge. And if we go back to last year, so let's go to sort of January 2020, $353,000. And now we're looking at almost $500,000. I mean, these are huge gains in some metro areas. And that's the thing with a lot of these forecasts and forecasting. You have to look at the data. It's easy to get carried away with making outrageous forecasts, and I've been guilty of this myself, but you have to look at the data. When I'm seeing a lot of economists saying the housing market is going to continue to grow like Zillow by 15%, well, if it grew by 14% this year and now it's slowing down, mathematically that doesn't make sense that it would grow by 15% next year if there's a slowdown. And there aren't as many buyers now because so many people bought over the last 18 months. So I think it's really important that we always look at the data first. And I want to take you over to the mortgage-backed securities now, which, again, I've been tracking right since the start of this. And this is the first month that there's been a major shift in mortgage-backed securities. So let's check it out. So this is an article that came out by Business Insider, and it said America's central bank, so this is the Federal Reserve, helped spark the US housing boom. Now it fears it created a monster. And I would agree with this. They are not wrong at all in that assessment. The Federal Reserve's emergency actions lifted the housing market. Some feared the boom has gone too far. Now, yes, they did. They did this in two ways. Number one was they bought all these mortgage-backed securities far more than they should have done. And secondly, they lowered interest rates to historic lows. This is two ways that they did this. Now, yes, I understand why they've done it, but what they've now created is an out-of-control housing market that is going to have to fizzle out at some point in the very near future. And it's quite funny. Look at this. This is the Fed president, James Bullard from St. Louis. We don't want to get back in the housing bubble game. I think it's a little bit too late for that, actually. Because look, they were buying $40 billion per month of people's mortgages throughout the United States. So if we just jump over to the Federal Reserve website here so we can get the data directly from the Fed, I've grabbed this small data range here because what I want to show you is something that happened on the 9th of June 2021, so last month. And for the first time in a long time, the Fed actually went down from its $2.79 trillion worth of mortgage-backed securities to $2.78 trillion. But now, obviously, it's gone back up very slightly. But it does show that the Fed is a little bit uncertain on their strategy here. In fact, let me pull the date range back a little bit more. And you can see right since the start of this crisis what they've been doing. They've been buying mortgages, buying the mortgage-backed securities. So they still own somewhere in the region of 53% of all of the mortgages in the United States. And this is going to be very difficult for them to actually sell these mortgages off because, as the article said, they have created a monster. And actually, the Federal Reserve buying mortgage-backed securities, I don't think is a very healthy thing to do. They only really started doing this at the last financial crisis. And what they said was that they would sell off all of these MBS, mortgage-backed securities, once the crisis was over. But look, $1.1 trillion, you ready? They never did sell them all off. They went down to, what, $850 billion. But then during 2013, 14, 15, they ended up buying more again, up to almost $1.8 trillion. And then it dropped again. So yes, they started offloading some of them. But then last year when the crisis kicked in, they just went into hyperdrive. And look, I mean, this is crazy. Look at that. I mean, I've never seen anything like that before. Now, I wanted to touch upon some of the housing market news, because remember I said the housing market is half fundamental and half psychology. And it's the media really that dictate the psychology of the people. So putting aside the media wanting everyone to be renters and not owners anymore, what else are the media saying? This is what you've got to look at, because if you look at what they're putting out, you can try and understand what they're trying to achieve. Some of it's propaganda, some of it is real reporting, but it's hard to tell the difference these days between some of the stuff that comes out. Now, if we look at what they're saying in terms of, you know, a rising housing market or a falling housing market, let's have a look at this. So it says there'll be a shortage for years to come. That means rising prices. How did the housing market turn white hot? Rising housing prices. Housing market shows signs of cooling. So again, there's a big difference between some of the left-wing media, some of the right-wing media as well. So this is showing that house prices are going to be coming down or cooling off. CNN is saying that house prices are going to go down because demand is weakening. We have Yahoo saying that house prices are jumping. So they're saying, you know, house prices are going up. Financial Times, they're saying house prices will come down. So again, you've got to look at all of this and try and figure out what they're doing. In fact, let's look at one of the articles here. So this is from The Atlantic, and they're saying why you should wait out the wild housing market. Rising inventory is one of several signs that we may have reached the peak of ludicrous. Now, I actually agree with this statement. I think we have reached the peak of the ludicrousness. I don't think Zillow is correct in saying, oh no, it's going to keep going for another year, another 15%. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think we have reached the peak of the craziness. I still think we're going to see some slight price rises, but it's going to slow down now as more inventory comes onto the market. One other thing for you to look out for, though, are the Treasury yields. So the Treasury yields are falling. So fall after June unemployment rate edges up to 5.9%. Usually I talk a lot about the unemployment rate. I'm not going to go onto it too much today, but the unemployment rate actually surprised the economists. They were expecting it to just keep recovering. Oh, we're going to get down to 3%. Yay. No, I've said from the start, I haven't changed my opinion on this. You can look back over my videos. The unemployment rate is not going to improve the way they think it is. And this has an effect on house prices as well, because if you are unemployed or you can't buy a house. So all of these micro fundamentals all add up to the macro eventually. Now, if you want to understand the correlation between treasury yields and bonds and the housing market, etc., I interviewed Steve Van Meter on my channel recently. You can go over to his channel, check out some of his videos where he talks about the correlation here. Again, we've got another article from MarketWatch here. Pending home sales surge higher, but economists warn that the housing market could soon hit bottom. I think that's probably a little alarmist. I don't think the housing market is going to hit bottom, but I definitely think that there's going to be somewhat of a slowdown here. Again, I was surprised to see this article from Realtor.com. The housing market shows signs of softening. Has it topped out? That was June 24th that came out. Again, I think it's fairly accurate. I do think that we are reaching the peak of the craziness here. So if you've been waiting to actually buy a house, this could be a really good opportunity for you once we really get out of 2021. I think it's going to be 2022, in all honesty, before you get into a really good position where you might be able to buy a house, especially if you're saving up a deposit, etc. I think, look, house prices can only go up for so long. At that point, they're going to plateau for a little bit as inventory comes back onto market. But until these interest rates, these mortgage interest rates rise, you're not going to see a massive crash in the housing market. This is what we're waiting on. We're waiting on interest rates to turn around. As soon as the interest rates turn around, this is when we're going to see some major issues in the housing market. But just remember that even with all these people being priced out of the market now, someone is going to buy those houses, whether it's private investors or landlords or whether it's hedge funds. You know, just because those people can't buy the families, it doesn't mean that the hedge funds aren't going to buy. And they are. With these interest rates so low, they are just going to keep buying over and over and over again. They're going to buy as much as they possibly can, unfortunately, because it is going to price out even more families. I think it's one of the saddest things I'm seeing actually in the economy right now is the amount of families that simply cannot afford to buy their own home. It's crazy. You go back in history in the United States and you could buy your own home, the price per earnings ratio, at 3-1. So if you had a salary of, say, $20,000, you know, in the past, that means your house probably cost about $60,000 for an average priced home. Now forget about it. The price per earnings ratio is insane levels, and this shows an unhealthy housing market. So there was one other thing I wanted to talk about, and that is lumber. We haven't really mentioned this a lot on the channel, but the reason I'm bringing it up now is because I've seen all these YouTubers who are, and economists, who are getting this completely wrong about the lumber prices. So what's actually happened with lumber is nothing to do with supply and demand. Everyone's saying, you know, lumber went up because of COVID and, you know, supply chains and all this. This is not accurate. What actually happened with lumber, you could drive around the lumber yards and you would see they are full to capacity, and they were as well during COVID. The reason for this was because of futures contracts, so profiteering. So what was happening was, again, the usual suspects or the funds, they were buying the lumber and they were putting holds on it. So they were artificially holding the prices up and they weren't releasing the supply. So they were going to the mills or the storage locations and paying for storage of the timber. They had no intention of ever taking delivery. So they pay for storage. You know, the timber yard's making a profit, obviously, but then it gets to the point where they're like, come on, you need to take this. We need to take more in. So they start shifting it to other locations for storage, etc. There's this whole thing around it. I won't get into it all. But this is the reason that the prices went so high, is because it was manipulation. It was the big funds making a lot of profit off of it. So now what's happened was entrepreneurs come into the market. A lot more timber is felled. They're putting it through the mills. There's a lot more supply. So prices are going to come down, obviously. And they have. They've really crashed from 1700 right down to 700. I mean, this is a huge crash from where it's come down. So what will this do? Well, it's going to mean that the price of framing, so this is what it's classed as, you frame a house, is going to come down dramatically in the future. Now, it might take 6 months, who knows, for the prices for the new timber to work its way through the market, for the prices to come down. But at that point, with that huge drop in prices, as well as we're seeing other commodity prices drop, this is going to help to bring down the price of houses, as long as the home builders pass on the cost. This is the X factor. We don't know if they will at this stage, but in theory, this is what should happen. Okay, so let me come on to my forecast then of what I think is going to happen. So firstly, for those of you holding out for a housing market crash, I'm sorry to say that until these interest rates go up, I just don't think it's going to happen. And it's crazy that these interest rates are still what they are right now. They should not still be this low. The reason they are is the Federal Reserve knows if it raises interest rates, it's going to bankrupt the US government. The government just won't be able to pay off the debt. But the other problem is the government's borrowing more and more debt at these low rates. But what happens once the rates then go up? It's crazy. We're in this debt trap now, the US government. And they're, you know, how do you get out of it? Well, you get out of it by raising the GDP of the country, or you get out of it by taxation. Now, I wonder what the politicians are going to go with. We'll have to see. But until these interest rates go up, you're not going to see a housing crash at this stage. I think that pricing people out is definitely going to slow down this growth. And I think it will then plateau for a little bit. And again, the psychology, when the crowd sees, uh-oh, the housing market is slowing down, there's a lot more inventory coming to market, I think this is going to cause more people to bring their inventory to market as well. So this is one thing that could cause a slowdown in the housing market. But I don't think we're going to see this big crash until those interest rates go up. And also, a lot of people are talking about the inventory coming to market and how this is going to cause the housing market to crash. Again, I don't think so. And the reason why is because at the current rate that inventory has come into market, it would need to be at least 12 months, just at this current rate, before we got a normal housing market in terms of inventory levels again. So you're still looking a year from now before inventory normalizes, unless we have this psychological panic that I just mentioned. But that does mean that time on market will increase as we go forward through the year. Definitely through the winter period, you're going to see time on market increase. This means that buyers will have a little bit more leeway in terms of negotiations and getting a better price on the houses. So of course, this is good if you missed out over the last 18 months on buying a house and you really want to buy a new family home now. This could be a good opportunity for you to not get into these bidding wars and all the craziness of overpaying on houses and all this other stuff. So this could be a good opportunity for you coming up in the next 6 to 12 months. So thank you so much for watching the video today. I really appreciate it. Please click the like button if you haven't already. Subscribe to the channel. But apart from that, I will see you next month. Take care. God bless.